Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra soft, patented temperature regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, glad you're with us. And write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you today. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, I don't know what... I don't know how else to say this without just coming right out and saying it. You have prominent Democrats that are playing... They're playing politics with an issue that... In years gone by, they've used the same arguments, the same words, and supported the same plans that they're now calling immoral. And, you know, in the course of a week, we lost Officer Singh out in California. We find out illegal immigrant. The illegal immigrant was in the criminal justice system. If they didn't have sanctuary city state policy out in California, this person... ICE would have taken them into custody and would have deported them. That's what federal law calls for. That didn't happen. And that's why I'm saying these laws, I don't understand why we have laws that allow the aiding and abetting and violation of federal immigration laws. I don't know why. You know, liberals love to claim that they are the most compassionate. They have a monopoly on compassion. Conservatives, they are cold-hearted, mean, cheap, and horrible. They're racist. They're sexist. They're misogynist. They're xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air and water, and they want to kill granny, and they want to kill children. We hear it every 2 and 4 years. But Officer Singh had a 5-month-old son. That kid is never going to see his father for the rest of his life. Is the government going to step in, considering the government, through a sanctuary policy? You know, they're aiding and abetting potential and real crimes by allowing people that are in the country illegally, that commit crimes that are in the justice system by not deporting them. Now, I know some people get deported and then they come back. Well, I forgot which particular case. It was one of the famous cases. It might have been Kate Steinle. 8 times the guy came back. 8 times because the border's not secure. Now we've got, I interviewed last night on Hannity. It's like the hardest interviews to do, but when you interview the parents, because I think it's the hardest thing to go through in life, very wonderful, Wendy and Ty Cochran, they lost their son, Pierce. I'm looking at pictures of this kid. He's in a good-looking kid. He's 22 years old. And on December 29th, police say Franco Cabrani Francisco Eduardo swerved into oncoming traffic, and they killed this kid. Criminally negligent homicide. Well, he's been in the country illegally for 14 years. Wendy Cochran, the mother, put a blog up there. Why can't you just obey our laws? This is now life and death. You know, but here's where it gets frustrating to me. You know, you can go back and look, and all of these Democrats now that are saying that this is immoral, on that this is wrong, and that they don't want the border wall. Well, President Trump picked up an endorsement for the border wall. We have, number one, a former Border Patrol chief under Obama revealed that he supports the president's plan to build the wall. Any and everybody I know that ever worked at the wall, and we've been down there how many times, it's DJ and Wendy Cochran, the parents of Pierce Cochran. But you go back, we've dealt with this issue many times over the past years. 2006, the Secure Fence Act passed with a bipartisan support requiring the construction of physical barriers along 700 miles of the 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexico border. 64 House Democrats voted for the measure, 26 in the Senate. Let's see, Senate Minority Leader Chuckie Schumer, he voted for it. Hillary Clinton voted for it. Crazy Uncle Joe Biden voted for it. You know, then Illinois Senator Barack Obama praised the bill, saying it would do some good and help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration into the country. And then in 2013, all Senate Democrats, most House Democrats, they backed the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill, the so-called Gang of Eight Bill. Well, that included $46 billion for border security and around $8 billion to repair or reinforce barriers along the 700 miles of border fence that had been required by the Secure Fence Act, not all of which was built. And the 2013 immigration bill, had it been signed into law, would have ramped up the interior enforcement and border security in return of a pathway, potential pathway to legal status for people. Now, the president's been clear. He's willing to talk about the DACA kids. He's willing to talk about Dreamers. You know, Democrats, when they support, go back 2006, the Secure Fence Act, 64 Democrats voting for the measure in the House, 26 in the Senate. All these prominent Democrats that are offering a dollar. It's not funny. Well, I will offer a dollar. Is that supposed to be funny? Now, we've got them in their own words. We played some of these before. But you got to ask yourself, if we have human trafficking and people are dying on both sides of the border, you know what a treacherous journey it is if you're coming from Central America? Even with a caravan, some come without a caravan. They have these coyotes that you pay every penny that you have in the world to bring you up to the border. No guarantee that you get to cross the border. I understand a lot of, I'd say 98% of people want what we all take for granted, liberty and freedom, and an opportunity to get a job at a good pay so they can have a better life for themselves and their families. I think that's all, that makes perfect sense. But you got to do it legally. And so, you know, we hear about all of these horrible things that happened on this treacherous journey that people take. You know, we look at the statistics, and this is when Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary, pointed out to Nancy Pelosi that in 2 years, there's been 4,000 homicides, illegal alien crime statistics, 30,000 sex crimes, and 100,000 crimes involving some type of violent assault. That's all happening against American citizens. It's making our towns and our cities less safe. 90% of heroin is coming from our southern border. That makes our towns and cities less safe. Then you have gun trafficking as well. That's making our towns and cities less safe. These are illegal guns. We're not talking about the legal kind. Then you have human trafficking. I have a case that I'll get into as the program unfolds here. Now, if you look at other data, 2016 is the last year we have of fiscal year 2018. Illegal immigration convictions, 2016, well, they represented 18% of all murder sentences in federal prison. They had, 51 of 790 assault sentences, 6.5%. 3,503 drug trafficking sentences, 18% of the total. We had 1,278 drug possession sentences, that's 69% of the total, and 17% of the total of national defense sentences. Now, illegal immigrants account for 13% of all non-immigration-related federal sentences in 2016, but they represent 3.5% of the population. That is, illegal immigrants are said to make up. So 3.5% of the population are committing 13% of the crime, and we're not doing anything to vet the people that want to come into this country. And then you add the murders, and then you add all these other crimes and violent crimes associated with it, then human trafficking, and then drug trafficking. You know, it is a national emergency. And by the way, the Politico points out today that support is building among Republicans and conservatives all around the country for the president to declare a national emergency, which he has every right to do, and I'll explain later, and begin building the wall using whatever funding that he can find from the Pentagon and other government agencies. And it's not because they actually want the wall. It's because Republicans now think building the wall is the only way that they can get President Trump to end the government shutdown. Good. There's a politician that's not a politician. There's somebody that's focused on a promise and on a problem and not putting his finger in the air to decide whether this is good for him politically. He has gone out and he's taken a stand, and it's a stand that he's told everybody about since the first day he came down that escalator. Wall Street Journal reports today that there's at least $13 billion in current Pentagon budget that President Trump could legally divert to cover the border and construction costs at the wall. They say if he did that, Democrats would challenge in court. That means they'll file in California or Oregon so they can get it to the Ninth Circuit. But there is a potential on an emergency stay. You might be able to bring it directly to the Supreme Court. That is a possibility, remote as it is. Anyway, people will take him to court and they'll try and tie it up in the courts for as long as they possibly can. You know, we have, you know, you would think that Nancy Pelosi and some of these, and Chuck Schumer and others, you know, this just broke from last week. Five Mexicans, members of the International Rendon Reyes Trafficking Organization, they got prison terms of 15 to 25 years, according to the Trump Justice Department announcing this past Monday. Now, three other defendants set to be sentenced on January 15 pled guilty in 2017 into racketeering, sex trafficking, other federal charges following their arrest in Mexico and the United States, where they were residing illegally, the Department of Justice said. They've been doing this for over a decade. You know, but if you look at, for example, what's so frustrating in all of this is all of these people, let's play all of these Democrats and what they said in past years and the way they voted in 2006 and 2013.
I would listen to the people who live along the border, who understand what it is we need to be doing to protect our country.
Well, this is an area where Senator Clinton and I almost entirely agree. I think that the key is to consult with local communities.
The American people are a welcoming and generous people. Those who enter our country legally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law. And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Americans are right to demand better border security and better enforcement of the immigration laws.
Well, we have been on the same page on immigration reform. Our Democratic caucus has adopted certain principles that relate to securing our borders.
We're talking about, do we have a commitment to secure the border? Yes. What are the options that we have available to us? Let's make sure they work.
Well, look, I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
What they are talking about is completely opening up the border. Should we have a completely open border so that anybody can come into the United States of America? If that were to happen, which I strongly disagree with, there is no question in my mind that that would substantially lower wages in this country.
We are committed to ending the waves of illegal immigration that we've seen in the last 30 years. We will accomplish this goal by building a very sturdy three-leg stool of border security, employment verification, and entry-exit. I will now explain what our bill does in each of these areas to prevent future waves of illegal immigration. Make no mistake, our border will be secured as a result of this bill. We appropriate $6.5 billion up front in this bill to bolster our security efforts. That is in addition to the annual appropriations made for each year of border security. Before any legalization can even begin, the Secretary of Homeland Security is required to come up with a plan on how to deploy that $4.5 billion. To acquire new infrastructure, technology, and personnel that will enable the Border Patrol to catch 9 out of 10 illegal immigrants that attempt to cross our border.
I'll give you more of the details of their former position that is Trump's current position. And meanwhile, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and unfortunately violence and death are still occurring. And we can solve the problem if they would go back to their former position. But they just don't want to help the president because it's all hate. Hannity, Border Watch, Government Shutdown Watch continues.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought for a government-run healthcare system and stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC, the conservative alternative. Same money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight. Become a member today. Join now at amac.us/better. amac.us/better.
It's like a who's who of Democrats as it relates to them supporting building a border fence. Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, all of them. Why are they against it now? What is it about this time? You know, but Chuck Schumer voted in favor of the 2006-2013 acts. You know, you listen to what Schumer's saying. Yeah, I voted for the fence. He's bragging about voting for the fence, 700 mile of the fence. We have to have comprehensive immigration reform. Okay, well, now we have an opportunity. But because Donald Trump is president, the very same things they supported, they can't support any longer. Now, that is telling me that they're putting politics above the safety and security of the American people. American people in large numbers, 80% plus, want their border secured, their southern border secured, period. And they want it secured. Even 64% of you know, Democrats and independents want it secured. The president does have the authority to build that wall either way. Question is, tonight, is he going to invoke the fact that he'll go out on his own, that he'll use defense funds, that he will declare a national emergency, all of which would be applicable in this case. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative effective. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. That's JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica.
Can you promise that the president will tell the truth tonight? Will he tell the truth?
Yes, Chairman, can you promise that you will?
I will.
The whole
absolutely.
Truth and nothing but the truth, to help you, God?
I'm not the
Am
one
I
who has the alternative facts problem like you do.
Will the president make sure that goes viral.
Okay.
This is why, by the way, this is why I'm one of the only people around here who even goes to the time of day.
Can you guarantee that the president's speech
will pass a fact check? Let me get back in your case, because you're such a smart ass. Most of the time, and I know you want this to go viral. A lot of these people don't like you. But let me just be respectful to the media at large, because I always am. I explained that with alternative information and additional facts. And I explain it many times. And don't you put it back in my face for all the corrections that your network needs to issue. I was on the network 25 or 26 times in 2015. I'm one of the last people here who even bothered to go on. And the disrespect that you showed to me personally, I'll just look back.
Ma'am,
This is CNN.
I gotta love Kellyanne in that exchange with fake news Jim Acosta. Where were we going? We're going to the Mediaite party, and I saw Acosta in front of us. I was going to go introduce myself, but then somebody grabbed my attention. Hey, Jimmy, what's up? How's fake news? They just, you know, watch them buzz.
But you know what? You were very, very nice to fake news when we were over in Europe during the Russia summit.
Yeah. What did I do?
And we were in Finland and our entire Fox.
And you guys were eating reindeer.
Ew, no, I wasn't.
Okay, a lot of people at that table were eating
some of them.
Raw
Listen,
Rudolph.
I don't eat Rudolph.
Raw Rudolph.
For me.
Just say raw Rudolph.
Well, it's a staple in Finland to eat reindeer.
You didn't have any?
I did not have... Well,
you, Mr. Outdoorsman, didn't have any raw Rudolph?
I didn't want any raw Rudolph. I wanted raw cow. That's, you know, it wasn't raw, but medium rare is perfect. What were you going to say, Sunshine?
I'm sorry. Are you ready for me?
I'm ready for you. Yes.
Oh, you people interrupting me. So.
When are you taking the Christmas decorations
Oh, this guy.
Down?
First of all, it's red, white, and blue themed. It's America. It's patriotism all day long. And it's on my side of the glass.
Okay. All right. What did you want to say?
So I was going to say that even though they have been so horrible to so many of us on the right and our tables were side by side, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I remember now.
Was I talking? Go ahead.
Tell the story.
Reclaiming my time.
You're impossible.
All right. Get to the point.
I would, except that it takes me 5 minutes of digression because you won't stop talking over me. Right. So. You did something very nice.
Yeah.
And you bought that table. Lots of wine.
Uh-huh.
You took care of some of their bill. You're very sweet.
I do that all the time.
That they're not very nice and rolled their eyes and you were over, hi, how are you? So gracious. I was like, wow.
It's not personal for me. The fact that they're horrible at their job is not personal for me.
Well, no, you've decided to agree to disagree and not make it personal.
It's not anybody that takes shots at me, I don't care. It's not personal. You know, like some people, there are some people I really don't like. Like Jimmy Kimmel, I just think is a jackass. And I don't like that he attacks women, especially Melania, who speaks English as her fifth language. And he's mocking her reading a book to kids, which I think is just, you know, just a pathetic cheap shot. And well, we forced him to apologize. And I would get in that fight in 2 seconds again and just keep hashtagging Disney, hashtag Disney, hashtag Disney, hashtag Bob Iger, and make sure that, you know, his bosses are aware what a jackass he is. But, you know, I'm not in the business of trying to get people fired, but I was making a pretty good point there. Like when we had fights with, I think I was fighting with Bette Midler one time when I used to fight on Twitter, right? And a bunch of other people. I don't care about them. I don't want them to like me. You know, when I go, I don't go to those events. I've never been to a White House correspondence dinner. I only went to one Christmas party during the Bush years, and I was invited to go this year. I was never invited during the Obama years. and I never wanted to go. And I honestly, I don't think I really wanted to interview Obama because it's they give you 15 minutes, you get three questions, he filibusters, and every time you try to interrupt him, everyone says you're rude. So it's you have to respect the office. So it becomes a pretty impossible task to do it in a respectful way, especially for somebody like me. And I got a lot of questions for him. I'd need a couple hours. I'd love to have Ocasio-Cortez come on the program. Have you called her office yet?
Well, I figure if she's not willing to, debate anybody.
She was tweeting out about me last night.
I know.
So let's invite her on.
Facts are, they're merely incidental. What really matters is your moral ground. Facts are just a sidebar to, how you feel in your heart.
Well, that's what she's saying. And this is going to become, the civil war that is brewing within the Democratic Party, all the talk is about discord within Republican ranks because of Donald Trump's style. It's not about policy. Most Republicans support tax cuts. Most Republicans like the job creation. We now have nearly 5 million new jobs since this man's been elected president. Record low unemployment for people that have been left behind. We always called it the forgotten men and women. Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, African Americans. Our vets are getting back to work in greater numbers than we've seen in decades. Youth unemployment is at, a 65-year low. This is all opportunities for the American people. And I'll tell you, those that are skittish on the stock market, that's fine. I'm not a big stock market guy, but that's not impacting most Americans. I mean, most people have a 401k, but it's not money you're going to need in the next 10 years, and you don't have to worry about it. If it's money you need in the near future, it shouldn't be in the stock market. You should have it in something a lot safer. Maybe you're only growing 2, 3, 4% a year, but the bottom line is wait till we get the pipelines online. Wait till we get the equipment in Anwar and we start drilling there. Wait till we really start digging down and extracting all the natural gas that we have. We are literally on the precipice. If we do this right, and this is our only shot while he's president, because, look at Ocasio-Cortez and her, Green Deal, Green New Deal, which they don't want any use of any fossil fuels. We now have surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil producer. Thank you, Donald Trump. You know how many decades it's been since that's happened? I don't know if you go to at least to New York, and they have pretty significant New York gas taxes. But I paid less than, I think I paid like $2.40 a gallon this weekend. I mean, we were up to like 80, we were headed to $8,500 a barrel, and it's come down significantly. We have more natural gas than more oil, more clean burning coal than the entire industrialized world. That means that people like that live in Germany should stop making Russia and Putin rich, and they ought to be buying the lifeblood of their economy, their energy from the United States. We just have to figure out a better way to get it across the pond so we can get it to them. And do it in a way that's inexpensive. Otherwise, you have a hostile actor, Vladimir Putin, and a hostile nation, Russia. And just look at what they did with Ukraine and Crimea. And that wouldn't make me feel good if 70% of the lifeblood of my economy was dependent on that. But this is where the Democratic Party's going. I mean, Ocasio-Cortez, the Green New Deal. You know what the estimated cost of this is? $40 trillion in its first 10 to 15 years. You know what the goal is? To remove America from all fossil fuels by the year 2030. It's an unmitigated disaster. It would result in poverty. It would result in lost jobs, lost productivity, GDP. We wouldn't have the money for any of this. Just like her $32 trillion Medicare for all policies. But nobody in the media is going over how absolutely cost prohibitive all of this is. When has government done anything right that it instills confidence in you? I mean, for all the Americans, all the liberals, you got Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo and Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They want socialism. Well, Cortez said she wants a 70% tax bracket. 70%. All right, well, let me start here. The bottom 50% of wage earners pay less than 3% of the income tax bills in this country. The top 20% pay almost 90%. So 20% of Americans pay 90% of the bill. Now, if you take that money from them and you confiscate it vis-a-vis high tax rates or the threat of a jail cell, raising it 70 cents, you have a mass exodus out of New York, New Jersey, California, all these high tax states. They're leaving. All these people are leaving for better weather, lower taxes, affordable living, nicer homes. Everything's better. You know, and people got mad at me. They said, Hannity, you were talking about, well, rich people won't buy boats. No, rich people won't go to restaurants because they won't have the money. Rich people won't invest in companies. That means they're not going to hire people. Rich people are not going to remodel their homes. They're not going to build new homes. Who benefits? The contractor, the electrician, the plumber, the carpenters. They're the ones that benefit when rich people spend money on their homes. The car manufacturers, all of a sudden, well, maybe I'm going to hang on to that old clunker for another 5 years because I can't afford another new home because government's taking a bigger portion of my income every year. They don't understand freedom, free markets. They want equal results. Freedom doesn't equal results. And they're going to cater to people, and they're going to say, well, we're going to give you your health care for the rest of your life. So Gavin Newsom was out there saying, out in California. You know, first he said, you know, well, first he got confronted over the murder of Officer Singh, and a protester blamed him for the death. Well, the policies of sanctuary state out there helped that. And he vows sanctuary to all who seek it. That's what Gavin Newsom offered. Then he's pushing sweeping new California health care plan to help illegal immigrants. He's offering free health care to anybody in California. I'll take that as an invitation. If you get sick, my advice is consider going to California. You'll get all your bills paid for by Gavin Newsom. Let him pay for it. And but that is the socialist mindset. That is what this beliefs somehow, like the government, Obamacare. Keep your doctor, keep your plan, and save money. Well, you have more options than ever before. There are more counties in this country now that have one option. One. And we've watched and witnessed increases since, what, it was passed in 2009, 100, 200, 300, 400% for inferior care. I mean, how did that keep your doctor thing work out? Keep your plan and save money. What does government do well? Well, I think I would add the military to that. We have the best military on the face of the earth. What else do they do well for people? Well, we do have a safety net. Okay, I'm not for taking away a safety net, but we certainly want a safety net that also hands people a ladder so that they can pull themselves up and find their talents in a free society and contribute to others and produce goods and services that people want, need, and desire. But you've got now, this is the far-left radical Democratic Party. This is what they're proposing. It is nothing that this country could ever sustain. And they don't want us to keep the energy, which is the lifeblood of our economy. We could be on the precipice here of truck drivers in the oil industry making $150,000 a year. And I'm not making these numbers up. These are real jobs in North Dakota, Texas, Oklahoma, and elsewhere. Once you get the pipelines done, once we really dig down and get into the natural gas industry, and then, of course, Anwar is now open. That's going to be millions of high-paying career jobs for Americans. And those Americans then can afford to buy a new house, a new truck, live in a safe neighborhood, send their kids to better schools. All of that's going to, you know, it's all going to be a benefit for them. But we can't even get Democrats to be consistent on a simple issue like they were in 2006. Build that wall. They sounded like Trump. 2013, build that wall. Now they sounded like Trump then. Now Trump wants it. We're not building the wall. The wall is racist. The wall is immoral. What is immoral about building a wall that stops drugs from coming into your country? That stops criminal aliens from coming into your country? potential terrorists from coming. It's not an immorality. Or potential terrorists from coming into your country. And then, I'm not demonizing the people that want a better life. Unlike most of my colleagues in the media, I took the time to go down there. We'll be down at the wall later this week. We're going to be in Texas on Thursday as the president goes out and takes a look at himself, and the president will be addressing the country tonight. All right, we're going to go over the legality. Does the president have the right to declare a national emergency? He does. Greg Jarrett will break it down for you next.
Have you considered using emergency powers to grant yourself authorities to build this wall without congressional approval? And second,
yes,
on Mexico, you have.
Yes, I have. And I can do it if I want.
So you don't need congressional approval to build the wall?
No, we can use them. Absolutely. We can call a national emergency because of the security of our country. Absolutely. No, we can do it. I haven't done it. I may do it. I may do it. But we can call a national emergency and build it very quickly. And it's another way of doing it. But if we can do it through a negotiated process, we're giving that a shot.
All right. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. It shouldn't really be a big question at all in terms of, and we now have even Democrats acknowledging and admitting that the president can declare a national emergency. I've gone over the facts and the figures and the amount of crimes, number of crimes that are taking place. But the president does have that constitutional right to do so. It's the National Emergencies Act of 1976. It allows the president to trigger emergency powers conferred on him. It has been in place in various forms for more than 150 years. When Americans are dying and 90% of our heroin is coming up through our southern border, and human trafficking is killing innocent young children and women, and that's part of the statistics that we've been giving out, then one might make the argument that it's a national emergency, and a severe one at that. All right, here to look at the legal aspects of this is the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Russia Hoax, Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett. You know, I watch some of these lawyers, and I'm like, where did they go to get their law degrees?
You know, you're absolutely right. In fact, I was listening to one legal analyst earlier today who said, well, the president can't do this because Congress and others might disagree with him that it's a national emergency. That is just flat out wrong. Congress, as you pointed out in 76, vested authority in the president to decide when a national emergency might be declared. And it gives him greater authority, Sean, to take actions that he might otherwise be constrained to take. And so the president, all he does is notify Congress that there is an emergency, and he can go further. He can cite specific statutes that he intends to utilize. One of them is literally, it's 10 U.S.C. 2808, emergency powers to construct any unauthorized construction. That's his strongest specific statute beyond the National Emergency Act. But there are three others that he could use. He could direct the Secretary of the Army, he could direct the Secretary of Defense, and he could employ the Secure Fences Act of 2006 that empowers the Homeland Security to build a physical barrier enhancement along our southern border. Remember, that's an act that was voted for in favor by Barack Obama, was a senator, Hillary Clinton senator, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer. All four of them, when they were senators in 2006, voted in favor of that. So, you know, will there be a judicial challenge? Will somebody file a lawsuit? Of course they will. Every time the president sneezes or coughs, he's sued. But judges are not permitted to substitute their own thinking and judgment in deciding what constitutes an emergency. Congress conferred that authority specifically on the president in 1976. And in fact, there are still 31 states of emergency still in effect, dating all the way back to President Carter and his state of emergency on Iran back in 1980.
So we have two instances in modern political history, many of the same players. In 2006, the Secure Fence Act passed with bipartisan support. That was to construct a wall, physical barriers, 700 miles of the nearly 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexico border, and 64 Democrats voted for the measure in the House, 26 in the U.S. Senate. Chuck Schumer, he voted for it. Hillary Clinton voted for it. Joe Biden voted for it. Barack Obama voted for it, praised the bill and saying it would do some good and help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration in this country. And then in 2013, all Senate Democrats, most House backed the in the House, backed the comprehensive immigration reform legislation and the so-called Gang of Eight bill. And that included $46 billion for border security, $8 billion to repair or reinforce barriers along the 700 miles of the border as required under the Secure Fence Act. And the 2013 immigration bill had been signed into law. You know, that would have ramped up, you know, enforcement at that time. So the reality is, why are they changing? Why is it now immoral? Is it immoral only because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they don't want to give the president a win, especially in light of Officer Singh being murdered in part because of sanctuary state laws out in California? Or, you know, I had on the parents of this young man, Pierce Corcoran. I mean, my heart was broken for them, killed by an illegal immigrant in Knoxville, Tennessee. He might otherwise have been alive. This guy was in the country 14 years and in the criminal justice system. So at what point do these people, you know, get called out for this hypocrisy of theirs? Because it's all over the place.
Well, you're exactly right. And outgoing Governor Jerry Brown, you know, said, the death of Officer Singh had nothing to do with our sanctuary laws. At least he's wrong. It had everything to do with their sanctuary laws. But you're right about Democrats in Congress that the only reason they oppose the construction of a wall is because Donald Trump advocates it. If it were Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or any of the other senators, including Schumer, who have advocated in the past for such a construction, why, of course, they would be all in favor of it. But this is about not wanting to help Donald Trump get reelected, not wanting to give him a political victory and a promise that he vowed to voters who put him into office. So it's about personality and not policy. And that's the simple answer.
Well, I think their own words, you know, make the stronger case than I could make or you could even make. And that is their past support for the wall. Listen.
I would listen to the people who live along the border, who understand what it is we need to be doing to protect our country.
Well, this is an area where Senator Clinton and I almost entirely agree. I think that the key is to consult with local communities.
The American people are a welcoming and generous people. Those who enter our country legally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law. And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Americans are right to demand better border security and better enforcement of the immigration laws.
Well, we have been on the same page on immigration reform. Our Democratic caucus has adopted certain principles that relate to securing our borders.
We're talking about, do we have a commitment to secure the border? Yes. What are the options that we have available to us? Let's make sure they work.
Well, look, I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
What they are talking about is completely opening up the border. Should we have a completely open border so that anybody can come into the United States of America? If that were to happen, which I strongly disagree with, there is no question in my mind that that would substantially lower wages in this country.
We are committed to ending the waves of illegal immigration that we've seen in the last 30 years. We will accomplish this goal by building a very sturdy three-legged stool of border security, employment verification, and entry-exit. I will now explain what our bill does in each of these areas to prevent future waves of illegal immigration. Make no mistake, our border will be secured as a result of this bill. We appropriate $6.5 billion up front in this bill to bolster our security efforts. That is in addition to the annual appropriations made for each year of border security. Before any legalization can even begin, the Secretary of Homeland Security is required to come up with a plan on how to deploy that $4.5 billion to acquire new infrastructure, technology, and personnel that will enable the Border Patrol to catch 9 out of 10 illegal immigrants that attempt to cross our border.
Unbelievable. I mean, how do you go from there to it's immoral and we'll give you a dollar? You know, one of the things I said when I came back, it's not going to take long for the American people to realize they're not there working for the American people. Their agenda, they're so fixated hating Donald Trump. They're even willing to turn around completely on an issue as important as border security, and things have gotten worse. I mean, I've been giving out the numbers to everybody that will ever listen, but when you've got the numbers of people that we have, victims of murder and rape, and then the drug trafficking, human trafficking, potential terrorism crossing the terrorists crossing that border, I don't think there's any more important issue.
Well, you're right. And by the way, you and your staff are to be commended for coming up, doing your research and coming up with those sound bites, the comments, the advocacy in favor of enhanced border security and indeed construction of a barrier. So it lays bare their acute hypocrisy. If it were a President Clinton right now, all of those individuals that we just heard from would be falling all over themselves to build a wall. But
I want to go over this because this is what's going to happen. If let's say the president and more people, as you look at it, they're looking at 4,000 homicides in a 2-year period, 30,000 sex crimes, 100,000 crimes of violence and assault. All right, so Americans are watching this. They see what's happening. They know 90% of the heroin comes from across the southern border. And sure. I think the American people are saying enough is enough. And we watched the Democrats, and they don't want to give him anything. So I think at some point that backfires against them quickly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't think of a greater national emergency at the moment other than fighting terrorism than preventing needless deaths due to the opioid as well as the heroin crisis, not to mention crimes of violence committed by those who are coming here illegally. This is a national state of emergency. The president should so invoke it.
I agree. We'll come back, talk more about the legal aspect of all this as we continue with our friend Greg Jarrett, number one bestseller, The Russia Hoax, which we'll be getting back to in the course of this year, I promise. We have Cabot Phillips, the media director for Campus Reform, conducting a really great experiment exposing the misinformation of the left regarding immigration. As we continue our top story, Hannity Watch on the shutdown, Hannity Watch on the borders. All right, as we continue with Greg Jarrett, author of The Russia Hoax, number one New York Times bestseller. Rumors, by the way, I saw you working the other day in your office, and you're pounding away like maybe volume 2 is about to come out at some point. That's what I was thinking when I walked by your office.
Well, that's a pretty good rumor. I have, in fact, started working on a second volume because so much has happened since The Russia Hoax went to print in June of last year, and you well know because you covered it almost nightly, the lies of James Comey that have now come to the fore, the bias of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page discovered by the inspector general. I mean, the list goes on and on, and of course,
well, the story is not done yet. We're going to get a new attorney general, and the big unknown question is he going to enforce the laws of the land? If he does, then all the people that we have exposed as having committed crimes, lying to FISA court judges, committing frauds there, and those that put a fix in an investigation with Hillary and obstruction of justice and the Espionage Act, if we have equal justice under the law and application of the laws, all those names we mentioned, they should be in serious legal jeopardy. And these will not be process crimes. All right, last question on the wall, though. Is there any obstacle? Because I assume the Democrats, they're going to go judge shopping. They'll file in California or in Oregon, knowing that the appeal will go to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit, often, 80% of the time, they get overturned by the Supreme Court. But I don't think that matters. They're buying themselves time.
Right. In order to file a proper lawsuit, there would have to be some underlying constitutional violation of rights. Not simply a disagreement about discretion, presidential discretion and policy. And so anybody who files a lawsuit opposing what we expect to be the president invoking National Emergency Act would be, it's an uphill battle for them because, as I mentioned before, we don't allow judges to substitute their own thinking and judging in deciding what constitutes an emergency.
Is there a fast path, if it's a national emergency declared by the president, to get this straight to the Supreme Court? And it'd
sure,
be fast-tracked.
You can always file an expedited appeal, but I'm not sure. You could construct the wall faster than it would be to litigate the case. So, the president should invoke it and order construction as soon as possible.
All right, Greg Jarrett, author of the number one best-selling book, The Russia Hoax. Thank you, sir. When we come back, we'll continue more on our top story. We had a really huge fight with Geraldo last night on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. He's going to join us with Jonathan Gillum, as well as Cabot Phillips of Campus Reform, as they exposed misinformation being peddled to kids in school about immigration. They're trying to, like, indoctrinate little leftists and socialists so the next generation of Ocasio-Cortez can make it to Congress. Wow. How are we ever going to afford her? Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
Have a flaw in the system, and there needs to be a recall. There needs to be a do-over. Just say, look, we didn't foresee all of this, and we need to stop the conveyor belt, stop the manufacturer, and look and see what that problem is, and take control of it. The government owes us that, all of us, any person that's here paying their taxes and doing what they're supposed to be doing and abiding by the law, the government owes them that, I think.
Because it so deeply impacts both of you, I think you have more of a right than anybody else, having been impacted by this, to give us your thoughts. How would you like this solved?
I mean, I think that my father told me one time, he said, a lock, a door, a wall will keep an honest person out. If a criminal or somebody that wants to do something harm or do something illegal, they'll find a way in. The wall will stop some people from just coming over. But I think that there needs to be something in place that's going to
be a deterrent.
We had some friends over that were talking to us, and they said that maybe we're looking at it wrong. You know, instead of punishing the people that are coming here trying to get a better life, to maybe start punishing the people that are employing them and enabling them and exploiting them and using them to their financial advantage, to maybe start fining those people.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. In 2 weeks, we have lost two great Americans. We lost Officer Singh. He was his five-month-old little boy will never grow up with or remember his own father. And once again, sanctuary policies prevented us from doing what the law requires, federal law requires, and that is, okay, you're caught, you've committed a crime, you do your time. If they didn't aid and abet these alien criminals, that means they would have been picked up by ICE, they would have been deported to their home country, and there could be a very strong likelihood that police officer Singh would be alive today. Last night, I interviewed the parents of Pierce Cochran. I mean, they're devastated because their 20-year-old son, great-looking kid, he had a future that would have been incredible for his life, but he got killed by a 14-year illegal immigrant that never tried to get legal, that had been in the legal justice system also, and had never been deported. And this keeps happening. You know, the question that people are asking here is, well, President Trump, will he declare a national emergency? Well, that's just part of it. Now, we have, just going over the numbers in the years 16 and 17, we've had 4,000 homicides when you look at illegal alien crime and the briefings that have been handed out by the Department of Homeland Security, 4,000 homicides, 30,000 sex crimes, and over 100,000 acts of violence by illegal immigrants in this country illegally. If you look at 2016 data, well, illegal immigrants accounted for 13% of all non-immigration-related sentences in fiscal year 2016. Their population is 3.5%. So they have 15 of 84 murder sentences, 18% total. They're 3.5% of the population. And on top of that, recent study, Center for Immigration Studies points out the average illegal immigrant in terms of the cost to our criminal justice system, healthcare system, and our educational system is costing we, the American people, over $70,000 a year per person. Now we've got a crisis at our border. And the president is saying, and I believe he's arguing for the right things. We have to build the barrier. We have to build a wall. I don't care if it's steel and I don't care if it's concrete. And the government remains shut down as the Democrats, they couldn't even show up with a meeting with the vice president of the United States. I guess they were too busy. And they sent their aides and they think they're being cute and they think they're being funny. Oh, we'll offer you a dollar. Well, we've gone back and we've looked at the history. Every one of these Democrats in 2006 and 2013, they were all sounding like Donald Trump and signing on to bills to build 700 miles of wall. Now they're calling it immoral. Well, that's playing politics with the lives of people. Then I can add the drug dealing that goes on and the drug trafficking that happens. 90% of heroin is coming up through our southern border. Well, that's 300 dead Americans a week. Well, that's more than at the height of the killing of American soldiers in Vietnam in 1968, the worst year of the war. Well, if that's not a national emergency, I don't know what is. Now, Geraldo Rivera was on Hannity last night. We had a pretty big fight over this whole thing. And I love you, my brother. You're my friend. I love you. But, you know, this is not the Republicans' problem anymore. Donald Trump has offered everything you want him to offer. They won't even show up and sit down. They won't even talk to the president. They won't even sit down with the vice president of the United States. They want to abolish ICE. They offer a dollar. And now we have a dead officer and a dead 22-year-old kid named Pierce Cochran. You know what? This has got to stop, Geraldo. Secure the border.
Well, you know, Sean, yes, of course, and I don't disagree with anything you've just said in a very eloquent and impassioned statement that you've just made. And the way you care for and treat the families of the victims of the undocumented, of the illegal immigrants, I think is you're the best in the business at it. But both of us are friends with each other, but also with the President of the United States. He has a daunting task tonight because, as you explained, Sean, the Democrats are being totally obstructionist. They've made it almost a game, this whole issue of the wall. So this is my advice to my friend. As you, and I would totally understand if he declared a national emergency, if he believes that that's the route that he has to take. I just urge one thing for both you and the president, Sean. I think it's very important that the president, because he knows, as a businessman, he has dealt with these people, the undocumented, for decades. We see them, they're everywhere, over 10 million, most of them here for more than 10 years. If the president, in tonight's remarks, talks to the humanity of this population and says he understands why they want to come here, If he couches it more in a compassionate tone, then he can get to the tough stuff. Then he can bring up the awful examples of crimes committed and other dangers posed by the population.
Geraldo, every time you and I've debated, I've conceded. It's 98% or 99%, and I'm pretty convinced. People see what America has to offer. They live in poverty. They have no hope, no opportunity whatsoever, and they want a chance for a better life for them and their kids. I'm all for the door to be open. Just we have to check you out, and you also have to be able to care for yourself when you're here. You shouldn't be relying on the American taxpayers if you come
all
into
true.
Our country. So,
all true, but you know how hard this population works because you see them. We have more than a million in New York City.
I was a kid working in restaurants.
If you wash the dish in a restaurant, the likelihood is that you were shoulder to shoulder with someone who is here illegally. If you mowed a lawn here in America, same thing. If you've cared for a baby, same thing. If you process.
But the president has offered to talk about DACA. Lindsey Graham put out a proposal about.
I love. See.
But I'm saying, but the president offered this before the election. He's willing to talk about the Dreamers. Democrats, they won't sit down and even have a discussion. And it gets worse than that, Geraldo, because I can play you tapes of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and every Democrat now that's saying a wall is immoral, they're all on tape saying that we need to protect our southern borders. And in 2006 and 2013, almost all of them voted for a fence along the southern border. $25 billion worth.
I hear you. The $25 billion, it's still chump change relative to the whole scope of the nation's wealth and debt and costs and all the rest of it. It's not, I don't think the money is the issue. But what you just said reminded me that the deputy communications, White House communications director used to be our boss. He is still our friend, Bill Shine. What I would love is if Bill put together for the president a montage of exactly what you just said. Show Barack Obama talking about the fencing and the wall and the barrier. Show Chuck Schumer doing that. The president addresses the nation, unprecedented. Just picture this. He's in the Oval Office. He makes that statement that you just made that you're convinced 98, 99% are here because they want a better life for themselves and their children. But there's a problem, and you know there are criminals, and there's MS-13, and you get to the dark stuff. But I want, ladies and gentlemen, as I address you, as President of the United States, listen to this, the YouTube button. And on video, we see Barack Obama saying, you've got to enhance security.
You need to watch my show a little more, Geraldo, because I've been playing it. I'm playing it here.
Americans are right to demand better border security and better enforcement of the immigration laws.
Well, we have been on the same page on immigration reform. Our Democratic caucus has adopted certain principles that relate to securing our borders.
We're talking about, do we have a commitment to secure the border? Yes.
Look, I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
What they are talking about is completely opening up the border. Should we have a completely open border so that anybody can come into the United States of America? If that were to happen, which I strongly disagree with,
we appropriate $6.5 billion up front in this bill to bolster our security efforts. That is in addition to the annual appropriations made for each year of border security. Before any legalization can even begin, the Secretary of Homeland Security is required to come up with a plan on how to deploy that $4.5 billion to acquire new infrastructure, technology, and personnel that will enable the Border Patrol to catch 9 out of 10 illegal immigrants that attempt to cross our border.
We want the president to do what you do every night.
I don't think that's a bad idea. And right after he speaks, I'll play it. All right, quick break. More with Geraldo and Jonathan Gillum on the other side. All right, as we continue with Geraldo and Jonathan Gillum, let me bring in Jonathan here. To me, this is now a matter of life and death, and it is an emergency. Mm-hmm. And I think the president, by every measure, has the authority. We've gone over the legal aspects of that, and I don't know if he's going to declare that tonight or not, but at some point, if the Democrats dig in their heels and don't seem to care about the drugs coming across the border, the human trafficking aspect of this, they don't seem to care about the crimes that are committed by that 2% that come into the country, then somebody's got to protect the country, the borders, our laws, and respect for our sovereignty.
Bottom line here is that what we're starting to see, and I think Geraldo would agree with this, is that we have an immigration problem, but immigration and the problem we have with it is really a symptom of the politics that are involved in stopping from doing anything effective. I mean, that's the bottom line. Now we see this. Now we have liberals that are saying enough is enough because they're tired of it. And the Democrat Party really has become a game, and they're obstructionists and stopping effective solutions from being carried out. And I think that is, as everybody now sees, the real cancer. And the immigration problem we have is the cough that's caused by this cancer. Immigration, I worked as a SEAL in Central South America. We saw the problem of how bad their life is there. We saw why they would want to come to the United States. I get all that. And we also saw the problem at the border. We knew it was coming with terrorists. We saw I was down there doing counter-drug, counter-narcotic operations. We saw it. and nobody was doing anything to stop it. But just like the VA, all they do is talk about it.
Well, at some point, they bear some of the culpability of the dying and the death and the drugs and the human trafficking.
Absolutely.
Especially with sanctuary states, and we have criminal aliens in our jails, and as a matter of law out in California, you don't call in, you aid and abet future law-breaking because you don't call in ICE to deport them, Geraldo. That's wrong. Because now you're putting Americans at risk with known criminals, some of them very violent.
I think, though, Sean, the problem, you're correct, but I think the problem the president faces, if you start getting into a debate on sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, and you start making it the federal government against the Democrat-controlled states, I don't think that's a winner for the president. I do think that you've got to combine toughness with compassion. Jonathan describes very vividly an accurate portrayal. Remember, I was the Latin American correspondent for ABC News. I saw that up close and personal also. These are a needy, poor people living next door to the Colossus, living next door to the United States, the richest country on earth. Of course they're going to try, as you and I and Jonathan would try.
I got to take a break, but quick response from Jonathan, because I'm shortchanging him here. Go ahead.
No, I just think everybody's right here that is speaking on this radio show right now, but the problem is when we say that the United States is the richest country, I grew up with nothing. I grew up poor. I didn't have a handout. And we're not even looking at that. We're not even looking at the people in this country that are in need. We're just simply talking about immigration and whether people should be able to come in or come out. First thing we need to do is set up an organized system to allow people to come in, and then we can start taking care of people.
All right, got to take a break. More with Geraldo, more with Jonathan Gillum on the other side. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. Also at the top of the hour, where do you see what happens on a college campus? And, well, if they think something is said by Trump versus a Democrat, it's pretty amazing.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
I'm going to read a few quotes here from President Trump talking about the need for the southern border wall. First quote, we should spend money to build a barrier to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. Another quote, we simply cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Quote, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we'll make no progress. When you hear quotes like that, what's your reaction to them?
It's divisive. I think America is a land of opportunity, place for inclusion.
I just really think it's kind of hateful speech in general.
It's just a negative message. Like, when he talks about, like, illegal immigrants, it's just, one, rude, like, to talk about people like that.
It kind of underlies a lot of things about, like, discrimination and people and their prejudices and things like that. So I feel like that stuff is touchy to talk about.
There are racial biases kind of sort of deep embedded in there.
In a word, I'd say it's more jingoist.
Well, I think his demeanor overall is just unacceptable.
I think just the way that he's referring to people across the wall is very dehumanizing.
So rhetoric like that is not helpful?
No, not at all.
What if I told you these were from Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton?
How about that?
Really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
I mean, Democrats and Republicans have said things about border control.
That's interesting. I didn't think that, that's interesting.
That would surprise me.
It's true.
Well then, can you tell me which ones they were respectively?
That's a very good surprise, by the way. If this were a Trump quote, I believe it would be a lot more... maybe a lot less calculated.
They wouldn't say like say that. I feel
well,
like
they did.
It's like their demeanor is like the way they come off is like I don't even know what to say.
I'm not surprised.
Why is that?
Well, because I guess I'm a little older than most of the college. I'm a graduate student. I'm 26, and so I remember Clinton's administration and what they did with immigration and what the Democrats' stance was then.
Got it.
So I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Donald Trump says it's disgraceful. It's horrible. Oh, I'm sorry. We just told you it was Donald Trump that said it, but it was really Hillary and Obama and Biden and Schumer and all the Democratic phony hypocrites, because they'd all said it themselves in years gone by. But now the border doesn't need the wall. Donald Trump wants it. Therefore, they can't have it. Well, does that put the safety and security of we the people ahead of their political agenda? I don't think so. If they believe that we needed a border on our southern border, and a wall built, and they were willing to fund it back in the day, not that long ago, both in 2006 and 2013. Why are they against it now? Why is it immoral now when we've got more crime, more drugs, more trafficking, more potential terrorists, gang members that we're identifying that want to come across the border? Again, not talking about the people that want a better life for themselves and their families. We're not, you know, although they need to come in legally also. We need to be able to vet them. Once we vet them, we also, they need to prove to us that they are able to take care of themselves. We can't put the burden of visitors, health care, and visitors' education on the backs of the American people. And if they can do that, then I think we absolutely are glad to have people from wherever they come from. Anyway, joining us now is Cabot Phillips. He is the media director for campusreform.org. This was done, those questions were asked at American University. Very revealing. How many kids did you ask about?
We were out there all afternoon, spoke to about 15 students. That was before some of the school administrators came over and kicked us off campus and said, you guys cannot be here. They asked who we were with. We told them campus reform, and they said, nope, get off our campus. You're not allowed here. I think they were aware of the fact that we may have been exposing some of the twisted mindsets that many of the students there had on campus. And sadly, it's almost hard to blame these students for coming out and saying, well, you know, these are horrible racist
comments. Well, hang on a second. Now, how can you say that they feel one way about a statement, but only if Donald Trump says it, and they feel another way about the statement if one of their beloved Democrats say it, and when they get called out on it, how is that a bad thing? Because if it's a, this is an institution of higher learning. This is an opportunity for them to learn that maybe they've got a political bias in their thinking, and maybe it would make them more open-minded in the future.
Absolutely. I figured if the professors are not going to teach students both sides of the discussion in class, if they're just going to push one mindset, maybe I can go to campus and enlighten students on what's going on. And I say it's almost hard to blame them because these students, many of them, they're just following the lead of what their professors are telling them, what Nancy Pelosi is telling them, what they're seeing on the mainstream media. And so they truly believe that anything involving Donald Trump, it has to be evil. So they don't do their own research. They hear Donald Trump, and they think, I have to come out against this. And so these students, the second I gave them the quote, they said, well, it's Donald Trump. It must be evil and horrible and racist. And so, of course, they're going to come out against it. They have to prove themselves. And I think the blame for this type of thinking really does come down to college professors, what they're teaching, how biased they are in class, the mainstream media, and people like Nancy Pelosi that are saying border security is immoral.
Well, it's funny they weren't saying that back in the day when they were willing to fund the border wall and they were making the same case now. When you call these students out and you finally, you know, the payoff comes out and you said, well, sorry, Donald Trump didn't say it. Hillary said it, or Joe Biden said it, or Obama said it, or Pelosi said it. Do they acknowledge that it's only political for them, or do they deny that truth in reality?
They, of course, come out and they could never believe that anyone they look up to, being, you know, the Obamas and the Clintons, could possibly have said something like this. They say, well, there must be a different context that I just don't know, or these words must be out of context. And what they don't understand is that just a few years ago, border security, we could all agree on, was a good thing. Illegal immigration was a dangerous thing for our country. But I think this shows just how quickly the shift has happened. And on college campuses, and really for young people in general and on the left right now, the narrative around immigration is that you are either pro-open border, pro-illegal immigration, or you are anti-immigrant. They have not allowed any middle ground. We've covered this nonstop at the Leadership Institute's campus reform, how in classrooms, that's the mindset. You either have to support open borders or you are anti-immigrant. And so students are, you know, indoctrinated with this idea. And so I do think people, they assume the absolute worst about anyone on the right, and they assume the absolute best from anyone on the left.
Unbelievable. Well, great work. We're very proud to announce that we're going to be doing a lot of projects with Campus Reform this year, both on radio and TV. You guys have done amazing work, and we look forward to working with you as the year progresses. And I think some of the tapes that you are getting exposes a lot of hypocrisy on these campuses. You know, campuses are supposed to be about the free and open exchange of ideas and opinions and thought. but there's not a lot of free thought on a lot of college campuses. If you are a conservative, you're treated one way. If you're a liberal, you're treated another way. And oftentimes, conservative speakers are run out of town, and they're not even allowed to speak on college campuses. All right, Cabot, thank you. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks so much, Sean.
Keep up the good work. 800-941-SEAN. Toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Jeffrey is in Long Island, New York. Now, Long Island has a big problem with MS-13 gangs out there in different parts of Long Island. And the opioid epidemic has spread dramatically, according to law enforcement friends that I have, both in Nassau and Suffolk County.
Yeah, I'm from Suffolk, and yes, that is a huge, huge problem. At one point last year, I think they said 14 out of 16 homicides were related to MS-13. But I wanted to call about the wall, and I wanted to point out something nobody is saying. I keep hearing the left saying it's going to be a waste of money. It's not going to work. A waste of money. But it's $5 billion that's going to go to American workers that are going to use American steel, that are going to use American concrete. They're going to require trucks. They're going to need fuel. All of this $5 billion, and everyone's so shocked about that number, he's dumping back into our economy. Even if it doesn't work, how would you not be in favor of such a project?
Well, the point is, it is a project, but think of the $70,000 annually that we spend on the average illegal immigrant, or the fact that at such a much higher rate, they are on government assistance programs. If you look at 2016 data, illegal immigrants accounted for 13% of all non-immigration-related federal sentences in 2016. Well, that's greater than the 3.5% of the population illegal immigrants are said to make up. So 3.5% of the population, 13% of non-immigration-related federal sentences in 2016. They're at a much higher rate. They are committing crimes, and we've gone over the numbers and the statistics. Some of them are extremely serious. That would be murders. That would be assaults. That would be rape. These are serious crimes. Now, Hannity, you're attacking immigrants. No, I'm attacking criminal immigrants. And I'm attacking a system where politicians aid and abet further lawbreaking and more crime by giving them sanctuary protection and status that we don't hand them over when they get out of jail to the proper authorities so they can be deported. And if your son or daughter is one of those people that are killed as a result of not enforcing what is the federal immigration laws of the country, I don't think you'd feel too good about it.
I agree with you 100%, and I don't understand at this point, if you're a state and you are 100% defying the federal government, that has happened in our country, and you could send troops in. You could send troops when they refuse to desegregate the college campuses. They send in the National Guard.
Listen,
if they're openly releasing people who have committed crimes who are here illegally, why don't we send the troops in and put a stop?
Americans support immigration. Americans are good people. Americans understand all of us can go back and trace our roots and find that we came from other countries to come here for a better life, the freedom, the opportunity that America offers. We're not talking about shutting that opportunity out for people. We're just saying that based on the things that have been going on and the crimes that are now being committed, 4,000 homicides in a 2-year period, 30,000 sex crimes in a 2-year period, 100,000 violent crimes in a 2-year period, that we can do better. And we'll do better by protecting our borders so people can't walk across. It's that simple. And that's why it's a national emergency. Then add the drug component to it. Then add the human trafficking component to it. Then add the component potential terrorists want to cross that border. That's a big component also. But Hannity, what about the 99? I'm not disputing that I've been down there more than anyone else in the media. And I'm going down Thursday. I do not dispute that there are a lot of good people that see what we have and want this great country of ours. We're saying do it legally. We have a right to protect our own citizens first. And if you do come in legally, those protections will be for you as well. And as we get back to our busy, busy telephones, our Hannity Watch border government shutdown segment continues again today. as we check in with Michelle, is in Cary, North Carolina, on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Michelle? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Sean. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to say a couple things along with the caller that just came in. I think we are totally missing the point, first of all, on the financial portion. You know, every year we have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars given to individual states because of natural disasters. And should we spend that? Absolutely. But when you're looking at potentially spending $25 billion on a one-time spending that is going to protect our entire country, it's absolutely worth it. It's a drop in the bucket.
It's
so financially.
And by the way, Mexico, with the new trade deal, is paying for the wall because we're making so much more money than we did with NAFTA.
And I used to live in Mexico. I was a missionary in Mexico. Three of my kids were born there down in Mexico City. And what people don't understand is the reason that Mexico is also going to pay for this is because people don't understand that every person that comes across that border that is brought to a spot that has a weak area, that is brought by a coyote, every one of those people has to pay $5,000 to $7,000 a head to that coyote to get them to the spot on the wall that is passable. So if we have a wall that is impenetrable, that will end. And if we think for a minute that the Mexican government is not getting 85 to 90% of that money that they are allowing to have happen up at that border, we are out of our minds, because they are. Because they are getting wealth from that whole process, because they would rather shove everybody they possibly can up to our country so they don't have to deal with them in theirs.
Look, I got to tell you, there are special interests on both sides. There are more people that want to come into this country than we can ever absorb. The world's population, we open up our borders, it would be unbelievable. I don't blame people for wanting to get here. But, you know, if you look at countries like Australia and New Zealand, you've got to invest in those countries to get in. You've got to be practicing some trade or opening some business that's actually in need in their country before you can get in. They make it extremely difficult. Now, if you make it to the shores of Australia or New Zealand, they're going to meet you out in the sea. They're going to be nice about it. They're going to throw you, you need medicine, they're going to give you any assistance you need. They're going to give you food, and they're going to give you water, and then they're going to walk you backwards, and they're going to make sure you head back to where you came from. By the way, not unlike what Mexico used to do, too. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. And we do have a lot of other news out there as it relates to it. We're getting a big, big picture now of what is the modern Democratic Party look like. We can start out in, let's start with Governor Cuomo of New York and his laundry list of leftism, radicalism. Now, keep in mind, states like New Jersey's number one, New York, Illinois, they're losing tens and tens of thousands of residents every year because of their high tax policies and the dilapidated, rundown infrastructure in New York City alone. I mean, it is a total and complete, utter mess. And they really need to, like, rebuild almost every bridge and tunnel, and which is going to be impossible. So you pay all, and you pay separately. How much is it now to cross over the bridge or over the tunnel? You think I would know, because you have an easy pass. What is it, like $17 each way?
Yeah, the Lincoln Tunnel is up to like $18 or $20. And for like...
Let's say you have to cross that tunnel to get to work every day.
No, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's another tax.
For the truck drivers, some of them are paying over $150.
So what do we get for all the money we pay? We pay, you know, 40%... federal income tax, 10% state income tax, 4% city tax. So do the math, that's 54%. Now, you look at a state like California, what did Gavin Newsom, let's start with New York, then we'll go to California, and then we'll go to Ocasio-Cortez. Here's what Cuomo said.
Within my first 100 days, I will propose to the new Democratic legislature the most progressive agenda this state has ever seen, period. from voting reforms to Roe v. Wade for New York to protecting a woman's right to choose to better gun laws to health care protection to legalizing marijuana to protecting the labor movement to a Green New Deal to real criminal justice reform, we will make history.
Okay, that is a liberal dream, a liberal... I'm showing Linda our new little toy I got there. That is their utopia. All right, take that out. You're such a wise ass. You know, that's my self-defense mechanism. That is a liberal utopia. Now, if you watch the candidates, the people that say they want to run for president on the Democratic side, you know, the oddball out that probably he might not even, Crazy Uncle Joe may not be able to get the nomination. Especially because Hillary cheated so bad in the primary the last time. All those rules, superdelegates, all those things had to be changed and shifted. So it doesn't give the advantage as it did in 2016 to the more establishment candidate that some of the money people wants. All right, so what does that mean? That means you get Bozo the Clown in Texas. That means you get Andrew Gillum, Pocahontas, as the president affectionately calls Elizabeth Warren. Then you get... You know, Kamala Harris, she's writing a book. She wants to run. Spartacus wants to run. I don't see any of them. But they're going so hard left. California Governor Gavin Newsom is vowing sanctuary to anybody that seeks it. Okay, that means are you people in California ready? Because that means people that are in the country illegally, doesn't matter what crimes they commit. It just matters that they're in California. That means ICE is not going to be able to take them when they get out of prison and deport them. That means they're moving back into the small towns and big cities of California. And he says, children will not be ripped away from their parents. People's lives, freedom, security, the water we drink, the air we breathe, they all hang in the balance, he said. And then Newsom goes on and he proposed, and this is something everybody in the country needs to be aware of. And I think it's very nice, kind, and generous of California taxpayers to offer this to every American and even people that are here illegally. Because Newsom is proposing a health care mandate, Medi-Cal expansion, to include everybody, including illegal immigrants. So Newsom announced sweeping proposals to tackle the state's health care needs now that he's taken office and outlining a dramatic Medi-Cal expansion that would cover immigrant adults and who are also in the U.S. illegally, require that all consumers in the state carry health insurance and increase subsidies for middle-class families that need that subsidy. This is basically, you know, Obamacare on steroids out there. The day one, but nobody's ever going to be denied coverage. Every person should have access to quality, affordable health care, he said. And then he went on to say, faraway judges and politicians may try to turn back our progress, but we will never waver in our pursuit of guaranteed health care for all Californians. Now, if they're going to take care of illegal immigrants, let's say you live in Montana. Let's say you live in Indiana or Ohio or Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York even. You might, if you get sick, you might want to take a vacation. Fly out to California, you're not going to be denied coverage, and go into take Gavin Newsom up on his offer of free health care. And everybody should go out, maybe the finest, I don't know, is this going to include every hospital? We got to get the details of this. Now, he did stop short of a single-payer system, but he says this is but a first step. Okay, so we'll watch that. New York City's mayor, he's now... Comrade de Blasio is offering and guaranteeing comprehensive health care for all in the city of New York. Nothing is nothing is free in life. You know that. Somebody's going to end up paying at some point, someplace. And only six immigrants, by the way, this is an NBC headline. You want to talk about how dumb the media is? Only six immigrants in terrorism database stopped by CBP at the southern border in the first half of 2018. Oh, there's only six terrorists that are trying to cross. Only six. But that's where they want to take this country. As goes California, New York. Now, there's a mass exodus out of California. A mass exodus out of states like New Jersey, Illinois, New York. And they're going to states like Texas. You know, New York and New Jersey are losing, you know, like 100,000 people a year. And meanwhile, down in these states like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, or states like Nevada that have no state income tax, the numbers are going up hundreds of thousands every year, which, by the way, it helps those states. That's why those states keep growing. That's why those states have been prospering. Anyway, this woman that said we're going to impeach the MF-er, this Rashida Tlaib, is apparently she made an anti-Semitic slur less than a week after saying that about the president on her first day in office, and said we're going to impeach the MF-er. Anyway, now she's under fire from other politicians, commentators, for openly posting what they are calling an anti-Semitic dog whistle on Twitter. And top Republicans in the Senate are alleging the Democratic leaders are hoping to hide the fact that Tlaib is just one of many Democratic politicians in Congress who harbor deeply anti-Israeli views. And she responded to a post by Bernie Sanders suggesting that Senate Republicans were more loyal to Israel than the U.S., which, by the way, that's an old anti-Semitic canard. And the idea that we are supporting our number one ally and only democracy in the region, that's actually a good thing. This is going to be a lively Congress, I can tell you that. All right, so let me go to Ocasio-Cortez's New Green Deal. And I know that you're going to find a lot of this almost unthinkable. But she's the rising star of the Democratic Party. Although I also heard that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are trying to get her to get out of the press as quickly as possible. So she is a self-described Democratic socialist. This is the Democratic Party. This is what they want. They think every single item that people need, they want full, complete redistribution of wealth. Anyway, so she has proposed this Green New Deal, and it would cost, roughly, conservative estimates, $40 trillion in the first 10 to 15 years. And also the single-payer health care proposal supported by Ocasio-Cortez, that on its own would be $32 trillion. So you got $40 trillion for the Green New Deal program, $32 trillion for her new single-payer health care plan that she's supporting. And she has suggested that the way to pay for these gigantic, massive government programs would be to increase the income tax rate on America's wealthiest earners to as high as 70%. Now, if you live in New York, that 70% then becomes 80% because of the state income tax. That 80% then becomes 84% because then you have the New York City tax. And then if you own a home in anywhere in New York, the city or surrounding suburbs, now you're up to 90% tax, which means 90 cents of every dollar would go to the government. But that's what she's proposing. Medicare for all. That is a $32 trillion cost estimate. Raise taxes to 70%. You know, one of the things Democrats don't understand is the top 20% of wage earners in America today, this whole soak the rich plan that everybody on the left likes, they already pay the vast majority of the taxes. They're paying, you know, bottom 50% pays 3%, 20% pays 88%. You have 20% of Americans paying 88% of the bill. She wants to even raise it further. What are we going to now empower the government? So the government, what? You either pay the 70, 80 cents of every dollar you make, or what happens? We're going to put you in jail? Well, what rich person is going to go and invest in any company in America if they're going to lose 80 cents of every dollar? You know, I said this, and I know our friends over at Media Matters said, Hannity says that if she raises the rates to 70%, rich people won't buy boats. Well, that was one example. What I'm saying is, if you take 80% of what people make, or anywhere in that area, 70% federal income tax, and you add your other 10% state income tax, city tax, 4% property tax, sales taxes, and you get to the point where you're taking 75, 80, 85, 90 cents of every dollar people make, what do you think those people are going to do? They're not going to work anymore. They're not going to invest anymore. They're not going to produce anymore. Now, you know, all this class warfare, I never got a job in my life from a poor person. When I was working in restaurants, people had to be able to afford to go into a restaurant and buy a meal at a, you know, premium rate, and then they'd pay and leave a tip, and I'd be able to get money in my pocket. Didn't matter if I got paid for washing dishes or cooking or bussing tables or waiting tables or tending bar. In my years in contracting, I never got a call from somebody in a poor neighborhood that said, oh, I need you to paint the whole house over, inside and out, and while you're there, I want you to do reconstruction and remove this old horse hair plaster walls that I have and put in new plaster, and I want you to... A poor person can't afford that. And what I'm saying is, yeah, okay, then it impacts, all right, are people going to buy new cars? Are people going to buy and build bigger homes? Are people going to buy a smaller home? Are people going to renovate their home? Are people going to buy, yes, a boat? What happens if rich people don't have the money to buy their boats? Well, boat makers, the guys that put them together, that make their living, that pay their insurance and pay their mortgage and pay their car payment, they're not going to have a job either after we confiscate all of this money. And you have everybody out there, and she's upset, by the way, that, I guess, what do you call this, PolitiFact. She got four false statements. She said $21 trillion in Pentagon accounting errors. That's where she's getting the money from. Medicare for all costs $32 trillion. That means 66% of Medicare for all could have been funded already by the Pentagon. No. Bad math. And then she said in her defeat of Republican Karen Handel, Macbeth was outspent 5-1. No, that's not true either. No, didn't fully get it. And then she said, just last year, we gave the military $700 billion budget increase, which they didn't even ask for. No, that's not true either. No, that didn't work. ICE is required to fill 34,000 beds and detainees every single night, and that number has only been increasing since 2009. Beds and people. So, but this is the mindset. Andrew Cuomo, Gavin Newsom, Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Spartacus, all of them together, this is what they want. They want this socialist utopia. They want redistribution. They want government literally confiscation. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. The president speaks right at 9 o'clock. Brett Baer, John Roberts, Lindsey Graham, Greg Jarrett, Monica Crowley. 9 Eastern tonight, the president addresses the nation, and we will have it live. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner, less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, BYRNA.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.